During my research, while I was preparing for this sermon, I came across this story, and I found it very profound. So I'm going to share it with you now. A father's protection is like a sturdy oak tree during a fierce storm. Its roots run deep into the earth, anchoring it firmly and providing a solid foundation. This stability symbolizes the father's unwavering presence and support, grounding his family in times of turmoil. Above ground, the oak's thick trunk stands tall and unyielding, look much like the father's strength in the face of adversity. As the storm rages with winds howling and rain pouring down, the oak tree's branches spread wide, forming a protective canopy. These branches represent the father's arms, always ready to shield his children from the harsh elements of life. The leaves, though battered by the storm, hold fast and offer shelter, much like a father's love and care, enduring and steadfast even in the most challenging times. Beneath this protective canopy, the father's children find refuge. They can rest under the sheltering branches, comforted by the knowledge that their father will weather any storm to keep them safe. The tree's presence reassures them that no matter how fierce the tempest, they are not alone and will always have a place of safety and security. The oak tree, with its enduring strength and protective embrace, becomes a symbol of the father's role in the family. It shows how he stands firm, providing stability and protection, while his love and care create a haven of safety for his children. And just as the oak tree remains rooted and resilient through countless storms, a father's protection is constant, an unwavering force guiding and shielding his family through all of life's challenges. After I read this, it made me think of our Father in heaven and how he is with us, his children, how he protects us and how he takes care of us, helping us to be able to stand firm when the storms of life come. All of us long to feel safe. We all want to know that we're protected from danger. We want the Gardaí to protect us in our communities, so we feel safe outside and in our homes. As a society, we take many precautions. We set up many safety standards. Places we go to eat have food hygiene inspectors, and the buildings we sit in, they all need to be up to a code. The cars we drive need to have certain safety standards. We bring those cars to be tested for roadworthiness. We have airbags in our cars that protect us if we crash. We have a defense force to protect us from attack. So let me ask the question, where does our protection come from? Where does our protection ultimately come from? Does it come from the guards or the military? Does it come from the safety standards that we set up? This brings us to our text this morning. And our text this morning is Psalm 121. If you all would like to turn there. Or look up there. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. In our text this morning, we read a psalm that the Israelites would often sing while they make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. About three times a year, they would make this journey to worship in the temple. For these people, this journey was long and dangerous. The miles were long and the traveler was vulnerable. They faced many dangers. So much could go wrong. They didn't have road systems like we do today. no phones they could use. So they had reason to fear. There was attack from lions or bandits were so common on the journey. They were prone to slipping and to falling. They wanted to feel safe and protected just like we do today. That's why they would sing this song. It was a reminder to them that ultimately their protection came from God. This psalm was written as a reminder to God's people how he protects them in times of danger. We can see this in the first two verses, which serve as an introduction. Will I lift my eyes to the hills? Where does my help come from? The answer is my help comes from the Lord. That word help also signifies protection. God is pictured here as our guardian. The dangers before us may not be the same as they faced. We're probably not going to be attacked by lions in the mountains of Connemara. However, those of us who have hiked in the mountains understand slipping and falling. We understand what it is to be exposed to the elements. When we're in danger in the mountains, when we are in the mountains, I would definitely say that we're better equipped. We have better clothing, better footwear. We have better safety precautions, with phones, all sorts of things. I remember a time when I was in recruit training in the Defence Forces. We were on a military exercise. It involved both Eastern and Western brigades. And we were on an overnight march in the Wicklow Mountains. And our mission was to hike to the top of Tabletop Mountain, assault an enemy dug-in position. Now, this was all training. and to make our way down the other side. There was a real danger, but there was danger of slipping and injuring yourself. For me, personally, it was the elements. That was my danger. But we were all protected. We had medics, plenty of medics, and we had air support. I think it's safe to say it wasn't the same for those travellers to Jerusalem. I certainly was glad of all the protection that we had, because I happened to become hypothermic and I ended up getting a whole section of soldiers lost, and it was a big kerfuffle, and I actually had to be airlifted off the mountain. It's something that me and Tricia still laugh about this day. In the text, the psalmist says his help comes from the Lord. And just like those travellers who knew where their help came from, we know that too. Our God is immutable. He never changes. And he protects us from danger today. He protects us from the danger of sin, the sin that is in with all of us. And he protects us from the sin of others. So then the question becomes, how can God do all this? How can God protect us like this? First, we see that God protects us from danger by keeping us from falling. Verses 3 and 4. There were many dangers for the traveller on the way to worship. One of those dangers was falling. And when verse 3 says, he will not allow your foot to be moved, that verb often translates to slip. A person could fall and sprain an ankle, break a leg or hip. And it was a major, major concern for them that actually could lead to death. So God promised his fearful journeymen that he would not let their foot be moved. God is assuring us that we will have stability and that we will not be shaken or overthrown on our journey. This does not mean that God stops us from sinning. This does not mean that we don't have to face consequences of what comes from inside of us. It does mean that God holds us through the harm and gives us the strength to overcome what others can bring on us and what we can bring on ourselves. When we have young children, and me and Tricia definitely know about this, we become all about safety. So the child gets to about one, they're up on their feet exploring, so we do everything that we can to protect them. We start making things safe. We've got plastic covers for our sockets. We've got baby gates that we put up. Maybe we start baby-proofing presses, toilet seats, which actually can be very hard to open. We have special car seats for young children, harnesses coming from all over the place. We have locks on our car windows that only the driver can operate. And if any of you have sat in the back of a family car and you pull up to your destination, you try to get out, you can't because there's dry locks on it. You need to be let out. Our lives become all about protecting those children. And so our Heavenly Father has so many ways that he protects us. And I could have listed a lot of them, but one that came to my mind was that one of the ways that he protects us is that he says no to some things that we ask for that we think we may need, but he actually knows that they wouldn't be good for us. How is God able to protect us all the time? Let's look what verse 4 says. God will neither sleep nor slumber. This for the psalmist would have been very comforting. When he looked up to the mountains, he probably could see the pagan temples that were set on the top. Perhaps they knew the pagan belief that their God, their false God, sometimes slept and needed to be awakened. This is not what God does, because he never sleeps nor slumbers. And he knows every step and thought that we make in our lives. And he is able to hold us firm if our foot should slip. Jude chapter 1 verses 24 says, "Now to him who can keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." Those who God saves, he sustains. Brothers and sisters, God knows our every weakness and failure in life and still wants us to use us for his glory. He knows what we can be like first thing in the morning. I'll put my hand up to that. Yeah, ask my wife and children. I'm a grump sometimes. He knows what we can be like. He sees when we get angry in traffic and when somebody dangerously cuts us off. He sees when we get angry when someone zips into that parking spot that you've been waiting there patiently for. He knows how husbands and wives can be short and abrupt with each other. He knows of all the stupid times we take things into our own hands before we go seek his face. All those wicked thoughts and feelings that rise from deep inside us, he knows. He knows all of it. And yet even with all that, he still calls us to take up our cross and follow him. Maybe you're now thinking that I've nothing to give God. Maybe you're thinking that you're weak and that you fail. Maybe the question in your mind now is, well, what if I fall? Remember this truth, that God is strong for us. Remember what 1 Corinthians 1:27 says. It said, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and he chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He does this to show us and others that he is all powerful, and he shows us his glory through it. So knowing this, what do we do? May I just suggest that what we need to do is we need to trust and obey, and we need to follow him every way. So we've seen that God protects us from falling, but he also protects us from sheltering. And that brings us to point 2. God shelters us from times of trouble or hardship. Verses 5 and 6. Not only did the traveler have to fear the possibility of being injured by slipping or falling, but there was also another very real danger. Look what it says in verses 5 and 6. It says that God is our keeper. The word keeps or keeper in this psalm is actually used 6 times. And I think the psalmist is trying to get us to see something here. When translated into the Hebrew, the word keeps or keeper means to watch, preserve, support, aid, or keep guard. For the traveler here in the psalm, sunstroke was a dangerous reality. And also the temperature dropped considerably when night came. Here, the psalmist shows their confidence that God would not allow them to come to harm because of the watchful care from him. We see God's protection here as shade which blocks the punishing rays from the sun. God is our shade, or another way of saying it is our refuge, and we can hide in him. God is our safe place when we need protection from the troubles of this world and the troubles that will come from walking the Christian path. I heard a good analogy that helps us to see God as our shelter or shade or refuge. So imagine this for a second. Imagine a sailor and he's navigating through a stormy sea. The waves are high, the winds are fierce, and the darkness is making it hard for him to see ahead. The boat rocks violently. It's being smashed by waves, which threaten to capsize it at any moment. However, the sailor has an unbreakable anchor that is firmly rooted deep in the ocean floor. No matter how strong the storm gets, the anchor holds the boat in place, not allowing it to be swept away. You see, when God is our shade or shelter, we rest in him and we are sustained by his mighty hand. We will not be swept away, no matter what storms that we face in life. And we remain secure because of him. Another word for shade, when translated, as seen, was shadow. And in a sense, God is like a shadow. He's with us every moment of the day. When we go about our lives, we know that he is with us. However, sometimes we don't feel that he's there, especially when those tough times can come. Why is that? Why do we feel that way? Why do we feel that when we're going through hardship that we feel that we're on our own? Can I suggest maybe we're not walking in the light? What do I mean by we're not walking in the light? Well, when we don't spend time with Jesus and seek his face daily, when we don't talk to the Father, that shadow can seem to disappear. Yes, he is still there. He's always there. He's always present. He's omniscient. But we cause that feeling of distance. When we get on our knees in prayer to talk to our Father, and when we abide in him daily, we walk in the light and we know that he is with us wherever we go. God has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." God is there, always. He's always there. And nothing in life's troubles should cause us to fear, because God is Lord over all and all of those troubles. What are the troubles you might find yourself now in your lives? What are the circumstances that trouble you right now? Maybe your job is difficult and you're finding it hard to be a good steward in the workplace. Maybe there are stresses in family life and you struggle to be the husband or the wife that God has called you to be. Maybe you're a teen and you're struggling to honor your parents. Maybe you're struggling with health, physical or mental, and you're struggling to get up each day. Whatever we face, remember that God is your shade at your right hand. Nothing about what we face in life can hinder God's plan. There is nothing that should rob us of the joy of walking with Christ. Let's remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, every day, no matter what, that our God is sovereign and he controls all things, including everything that we face. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for those who are called according to his purposes." Well, what does this mean? It means that God uses all things, and I mean all things, for our temporal and eternal benefit, especially suffering. He will not allow us to be overtaken. This brings us to our third point. Thirdly, we see that God is defending us from evil. Verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil." The word for evil here signifies the evil intentions of other people and the intentions that they might have against you. Possibly the most frightening danger that these travelers faced wasn't falling or the sun. It was evil people and the harm that they wanted to do to them. There were bandits along that journey to Jerusalem who wanted to make quick money at the traveler's expense. So a family traveling to Jerusalem at that time, they were traveling to worship, and they would more than likely be carrying a tithe. So they could actually have been carrying a lot of money. Not only would they steal their money, but these bandits would have no problem of killing these journeymen. This was a real danger, but there was no need for them to fear for the child of God, because he preserves their soul. I remember a story when I was in Asmara, Eritrea. I was over there with the United Nations, and we were on a 7-month security trip. It was like peacekeeping and humanitarian aid. And one of the first things that we were told when we got over there was not to drink the water in the camp unless it had been filtered. When we wanted a drink, we had to go to our mess hall. It was more like a port cabin. When you went in, there was these huge filtration systems that went pretty much over my head. The filtration was to eliminate some of the stuff that was in the water that would have made us sick. What came out was refreshing, safe water to drink. So it is like that with God, as he filters the evil that men would have for us. As it passes through his almighty hands, what is left only benefits us and serves his eternal purposes. Just like the story of Joseph and the evil he faced at the hands of his brother, God used all of it to protect not only Joseph, but all of his chosen people too. We know the story of Joseph, all of us, hopefully. He had a few dreams, and basically his brothers were bowing down to him. They didn't like that. He was the father's favorite. They decided to kill him, and they ended up putting him into a pit and selling him into slavery. He gets sent to Potiphar's house. More evil comes against him from his wife. He ends up in prison. And after that, then he gets out of prison, and he actually ends up becoming second only to Pharaoh, which he was able to save his family when famine came. You can see here that the evil that God, his brothers intended against him, you can see that God turned it for good. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. Now, I would love to stand here this morning and say to you all that being a disciple of Christ will be easy, or that it will make us popular. I would love to say that we're not going to face trials or hardship, but the truth is it will bring trials and hardship. Family and friends will reject you. You'll be ridiculed. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, "In this world we will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." What I can promise you is this, that God will preserve you from the evil he allows to touch your life. It will not overcome his plans for your life. Isaiah 54:7 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." God will render them all useless except to accomplish his will. Yes, there will be people and Satan who, because of your walk with Christ, will persecute you. They maybe even attack you, lie about you. They might seek to destroy your life. However, the good news is this, that there is no evil that will touch your life that has not first been filtered through the almighty hands of God. As the bad intentions of evil men pass through God's hands, God's protection and his care, what's left can only accomplish his sovereign purpose for us. Yes, we may hurt. We even might bleed. But God will give us a joy to be counted worthy to suffer for the gospel of Christ. Me personally, I take great encouragement from these verses. And I hope you do too, when evil comes against you. It's encouraging to remember that no evil can come against us without God allowing it. And if he is allowing it, it is for our good, it is for his glory, and it will be greatly rewarded because we're suffering for the gospel. God gave those travelers thousands of years ago the same assurances of protection and safety that he still gives us today, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God has promised to protect his children, and he has, then we don't have to fear the dangers this life has to throw at us. God's protective work in our lives comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can trust God to keep us from falling. For he sent his son to walk this earth, and he never fell to the trap or sin or snare of sin. We can trust God to hold us through times of trial and tribulation. For we follow a Savior who walked on water, had power over nature, and raised people from the dead. This is who controls our circumstances. We can trust God to defend us from evil and not let us be overcome, because our Lord suffered at the evil hands of men. He suffered even to the point of death upon the cross. He rose from the dead and is seated at the Father's right hand. And as we heard Jason say earlier on, he's interceding for us. If we run the race that we're all on and we want to make it to the end, we must trust God to keep us from falling, shelter us from the circumstances of life, and defend us from evil. Those who sang this psalm in biblical times were making a journey. It was no ordinary journey. They were going to worship and to give themselves to God. So, are you seeking God's guidance and protection on your Christian journey? Maybe you're afraid of what lies ahead. Maybe you have fear inside you. Can I just encourage you now to take that step of faith and to trust and know that God is with you? A pastor by the name of Tom Pennington helps us by saying it this way: God is sovereign and is in complete control of history. He has mapped it out exactly according to his plan, exactly how he chooses. Don't be afraid of what might come, because he is on the throne. When you place your trust in him, he will guide you, he will shelter you, and he will defend you. In Proverbs 3:5-6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." This assurance should remind us that God is steadfast and reliable. Another psalm, I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes who's doing psalms after me, but in Psalm 91 it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We are covered by his divine protection when we dwell in his presence. We also know that God is faithful in completing the work he begins us." And this is what we see in Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." This verse assures us that God's plans are unstoppable. He will see them through to the end. In times of uncertainty and fear, remember these words of Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God's promise to uphold and strengthen us is a wonderful reminder that we are never alone on this journey. And when those times of trial and hardship come, maybe we can view them this way. A professor in some seminary over in America, his name's Owen Strachan, he says it like this: "Your trials, Christian, are not accidents stemming from an uncontrolled cosmos. Your trials are divine appointments from a holy God who loves you and is purifying you. Embrace his guidance, trust in his protection. Rest in the assurance that what he started in you, he will complete. Nothing and no one can thwart God's divine plan for your life." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, for you are all-knowing, you're all-powerful, and you control absolutely everything. We thank you for the gift of your word, and the assurance you give us through protection, love, and grace. Knowing all this, Father, help us through the power of your Holy Spirit not to fear what lies ahead in the road. Remind us, Father, to always look up like those travelers to Jerusalem and know that our help comes from you. Please help us to be bold and fearless as we travel this narrow path. Help us have joy in all circumstances and know that the source of our joy is you. Please give us the desire and strength to live lives that are pleasing in your sight. And help us, Lord, to proclaim your name boldly and with confidence. And Father, we ask all of this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.